Welcome to North Place Church in Durban, South Africa. Thank you so much for joining us today. If you're a guest, we want you to know how much we appreciate you being here. If you would, just type guest into the comment section or shoot us a private message, and we would love to give you more information about North Place. As soon as you do, one of our team will be in touch with you, and we'll just connect and see if there's any way that we can serve you. North Place, I've said it several times during this lockdown, and I've meant it every time. We can't wait to see you, and what's so exciting is that we do get to see you soon. We're so grateful for how our nation here in South Africa has cooperated with this lockdown, and as a result, the government has decided that during level three, religious groups can begin to have services together. Over the next few days, you're going to be getting information from us about exactly how we're going to do that. And I want to let you know that during the remainder of this time, even though we will open up for services, I realize that for some of us, perhaps we're not comfortable coming out to service or our health condition doesn't allow us to, we will continue to provide online services. We look forward to seeing you. We look forward to being together. But as we are online, let's recognize that we can still be the church. Use that comment section, use the emojis, and hit that share button. Let's bring other people to church with us here online. My prayer is that this current series about starting over has been a blessing to you. As we have looked at Scripture, I believe we've learned some key and important things about how God helps us to start over. Now more than ever, we realize that there are moments in our lives that call for a reset. And that's exactly where we are. We're in one of those moments where we must begin to reset. Several of us have been affected dramatically by this COVID-19 event. Not just this COVID-19 event, some of us have experienced other things in our life that have caused us to come to this place in which we need to start over. We're asking the question, now what? Several people have experienced a lot of devastation, a lot of hurts. Long-held dreams have been shattered and delayed, sometimes indefinitely. Here we are at this place, and I believe God's word has a lot to teach us about this. Where do we go from here? How do I start over? How do I pick up the pieces now that we're moving from level 5 to level 4 and now level 3 and beyond that? Here's the good news. The good news is this. The God of the Bible is a God who specializes in new beginnings. And that's what we're learning. What are these new beginnings? What are these things that we can do to start over in a healthy way? Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says this, I am confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. Those words from Paul are so comforting, and I believe it's God's word to us as well, that the same God that helped the church at Philippi to start over is at work in your life and my life, helping us to start over, helping us to answer the question, to help us to respond to the frustration that declares, now what? Paul wanted the church at Philippi to know that in spite of the chaos they were going through, God was not finished with them. And listen, friend, let this sink into your heart and your spirit. God is not finished with you. He will help us to start over. In this series, we've learned a few things so far. We've learned that to start over, I cannot allow the things that I do not understand to paralyze me. We've also learned that to start over, I must let go of the past and I must embrace a new path. You see, I've found that the willingness to let go and not be defined by loss often stands in people's way of starting over. And that is where I'd like to start today. I'd like us to dive into another story where people were starting over. The people we're going to talk about today were certainly folks who had to be asking themselves the question. In fact, they were asking Jesus the question, now what? I know that we probably haven't forgotten it completely, but due to the lockdown, we really haven't had a chance to celebrate as we ordinarily would as Christians during this time of the year. Just a few weeks ago, we would have celebrated Easter, and then after that, we would have come to today. You see, today is actually Pentecost Sunday. This is a significant season for those of us who are followers of Jesus. Pentecost is a Greek word that means 50th. It literally is the 50th day since the Feast of the First Fruits that is triggered by Passover. Passover is the event on the Jewish calendar that kind of set in motion the major feast for the Jewish people. Now, you and I know that Passover is the feast that takes place during what we as Christians celebrate as Easter. I talked about that during our Easter message, and you can certainly go back and listen to that. I don't have the ability today to go into detail about Passover, but we understand that Jesus is our Passover lamb. And after the Passover, the Jewish people would go into what was their harvest time of the year. They would start out their harvest time of the year by a series of feasts or celebrations for the harvest. So they had a feast to celebrate the beginning of certain types of harvest. And for Pentecost, it was a harvest celebration for the beginning of their wheat harvest. At Easter, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus because he is our Passover lamb. During this series, we've been talking about the fact that God is our Redeemer. Jesus paid for our redemption through his sacrifice on the cross. And we understand that I can let go of what I have lost because everything that I have lost has been bought back through the power of Jesus Christ. That brings us to where we are in this series. And you may be like me, perhaps you're the kind of person who says, yes, thank God, praise God that I've been redeemed. Praise God that all that has been lost has been bought back. But what does that really mean in my life? Now what? What do I do with that information? And that's exactly where we find the people in the story that we're going to talk about today. We promise you that during this series, we were going to explore practical things that we could do to start over, to begin again. Today's message, we're going to learn that starting over begins with seasons of refilling and retooling. Starting over begins with seasons of refilling and retooling. Let me read to you from Acts chapter 1. I'm going to read a lot to you. I'm going to read verses 1 through 8 because this is just such an incredible season of Scripture and story in Scripture, and I really want to make sure that you see it today. It begins like this. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority." Can you imagine what it would have been like to be one of those disciples? Get this. Here's what Jesus says. He says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." What an incredible and dramatic moment. They've had this these 40 days with Jesus. They've had this time with him. He's explaining to them mysteries about the kingdom of God. And they're so excited. They're like, Jesus, now what? Is it time? Is the kingdom restored to Israel? And Jesus says, wait. Wow. Have you ever found yourself in that situation? Have you ever found yourself in a situation in which things happen that are out of control? And you do what we've talked about. You let go of what has happened. You receive the restoration that the Lord has for you, and you're so ready to go. And you just find yourself in a season of waiting. See, think about it. Think about how they must have been feeling. Think about the emotional roller coaster that they were on. I can almost feel like I'm in the room, and you know, Peter, the one who drew his sword when they came to arrest Jesus, I can just see Peter being like, you know what? Here we go, boys. Jesus is back. He's conquered death. We're gonna lead this revolution, and we're gonna restore the kingdom to Israel. Let's go. Let's fight. And Jesus says, hang on, wait. See, the thing is, and I know that I'm certainly tired of hearing it, and you're probably tired of hearing it, but it's true. Beginning again means preparing yourself for a new normal. How many times have you heard recently, we better get ready for a new normal? You see, after chaos, after something big happens that changes our lives, that changes the world, nothing will ever be the same again. And Jesus' disciples, those who were following him, those who were reading about today, they had to get ready for a new normal. In their mind, they continued to think that Jesus was going to lead this rebellion and they were going to overthrow Jerusalem. But Jesus was trying to help them to understand, you've got to get ready for a new normal. See, I think it's clear. If you and I are going to start over, then we must be ready. We must be ready for a new normal. We've already covered this idea that embracing a new path is a part of starting over. So I'm not going to go into that into detail, but notice the idea of preparing yourself for a new normal, preparing yourself for a new path. See, that's exactly what Jesus was trying to help the disciples to do. They had to wait so they could be prepared for the new path. Jesus knew the disciples, if they were going to do what it was that he had called them to do, if they were going to advance the kingdom as he had called them to advance the kingdom, they were going to have to refuel and they were going to have to retool. You see, you can't go anywhere as long as you are running on empty. As long as your battery is dead or your tank is empty, you're not going anywhere. I remember right after this lockdown started reading articles where they said, hey, make sure you go out and you start your car every few days so you make sure the battery is charged. What a practical way of reminding us that if we're going to go forward, we have to go forward with a full tank. We have to go forward with a charged battery. It would be a mistake to underestimate how much all of this that you have gone through has taken out of you. It would be a mistake to not recognize and realize that when you face chaos, when you face disappointment, when you face heartache, there is a spiritual, a physical, and an emotional toll that is put upon you. Jesus set a pattern for us of being renewed and refreshed. The Bible teaches us about taking a Sabbath. Why? Because in our lives, we must be renewed and we must be refreshed. Paul, when he was talking to the church at Thessalonica in chapter 5, you see that he was so concerned about their renewal and their refreshing for the journey. And he said, listen, I want you guys to understand, you must constantly, I'm praying that the Lord will constantly keep you, restore you in your spirit, your soul, and your body. You see, there is refreshing that comes in the waiting. That's why God taught us to take a Sabbath. That's why Jesus set a pattern for us of being renewed and refreshed weekly. Why? Because there is refreshing in the waiting. Second thing that I want you to see about this principle today is that what got you to where you are is not what is going to get you to where you are going. The disciples certainly had a relationship with Jesus. They certainly had a relationship with their God. They had even experienced times in which they had seen the Holy Spirit at work. But there was a transition that was happening in the way the Holy Spirit related to humanity and operated through humanity. And what the disciples needed to understand was what got them to where they were at that moment with Jesus, where he had been resurrected from the dead and they had seen the power of God at work through him. What got them to where they are was about to change and transform. You see, we have to understand this principle. What got us to where we are is not what's going to get us to where we're going. We have to be retooled if we're going to accomplish what God has for us. The disciples, though they were going to go and they were going to overtake Jerusalem and they were going to lead this revolt. But Jesus wanted them to understand this thing is bigger than Jerusalem. This thing is even bigger than just the Jewish people. Let me ask you a question. Is it possible that in your life you've been thinking too small? Is it possible that in this season of chaos and in this season where things in your life have been turned upside down, that perhaps God is trying to reveal to you a different perspective of what he wants to do in you and what he wants to do through you? Is it possible that God's work in your life is bigger than Jerusalem? That's bigger than the city that you are used to and that you've grown up in, or the situation in your life that you've always known? Jesus said to his disciples, we read it there in Acts chapter 1, listen, this thing that I'm doing in you, this thing that I want to do through you, it's bigger than Jerusalem. I want to give you the equipment. I want to give you the tools. I want to empower you to go beyond what you were thinking before. Is it possible that in the waiting, God wants to open your eyes? He wants to open your eyes so that you realize that his purposes and his plans for you are bigger than you've ever imagined. See, I don't know about you, but when chaos happens, when everything that I can control and everything that I thought I was doing and that I was all about are ripped out from under me, I realize that I don't have everything that I need to accomplish everything that I have been called to accomplish. It causes me to recognize my weakness. It causes me to recognize where my strength ends. See, the disciples had to understand that if they were going to do everything God wanted them to do, they were going to have to be empowered. Here's the thing, friend. We must be empowered by God to start over. We can't do it on our own. We can't do it in our own strength. Let me read this to you. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. It says this, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed like tongues of fire that separated and came and rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Jesus said, go to Jerusalem and wait. Why go and wait? Go and wait because you've got to be refreshed and you've got to be retooled. Go and wait because if you will wait there, I will empower you to do what I've called you to do. And that's exactly what they did. They went to Jerusalem and they waited. They prayed. They sought God. And as they did, guess what? The Holy Spirit came and they were empowered in a way that they never thought and could imagine. On the day of Pentecost, a pattern was established that we see throughout the New Testament. I want to show you this pattern very, very quickly. As they were there on the day of Pentecost, the people experienced something that they could have never imagined. Here are the principles very quickly. Three principles. Number one, people are refueled and they are retooled by the Holy Spirit as they draw near to Jesus. They went to Jerusalem and they began to pray, they began to fast, they began to worship, they drew near to Jesus and they were refueled and they were retooled. Secondly, people are refueled and they are retooled by the Holy Spirit as they sense him come upon them. As they were there on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says that they sensed the Holy Spirit came upon them in a way that they knew it. Different people sense the Holy Spirit in different ways. But as you and I draw near to Jesus, the pattern that we see in the New Testament is that the Holy Spirit manifests himself in our life. We can sense, we can know. For some of us, that becomes very, very physical. For some of us, that is something that is cerebral. For some of us, it becomes something that is in our soul, something that we feel. But we know this, the pattern is clear in the New Testament. As we come near to Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes upon us and we can sense his presence. Then the third thing that happened in this pattern, people are refueled and retooled by the Holy Spirit when they surrender themselves to him. The Bible says that as the Holy Spirit came upon them and it was manifest, they could sense it. The Bible says that they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They yielded themselves to the Holy Spirit. They surrendered themselves to the Holy Spirit and they began to speak in a heavenly language. Here's the thing, friend. When you and I will be obedient to the Lord, when he calls us to a place of waiting, when we will follow after what he's commanded us to do, when we will lean into pursuing Jesus, when we will wait for that time of refreshing and renewing, when we sense the Holy Spirit upon us, and then we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit, just like those people in the book of Acts, we are empowered to go and do what God has called us to do next. Let me give you a little bit of a bonus. If you keep reading Acts chapter 2, what you see at the end of Acts chapter 2 is that the experience of Pentecost wasn't a one-time experience. It became a pattern, a rhythm in the life of the church. It became a rhythm in the life of the disciples. They started a new rhythm of refueling and retooling. At the end of Acts chapter 2, they got into a pattern where they would do what? They would come together, they would seek Jesus, they would sense his presence, and they would respond to whatever it was he was doing in their life. We see it again in Acts chapter 4, verse 31. They had experienced some opposition, more chaos in what they were doing. Did they let it get them off course? Did they quit? No. What did they do? They came together. They sought Jesus. They experienced the presence of the Lord. And then the Bible says once again, they were filled with the Spirit. They overflowed. They yielded themselves to the Spirit. You may be saying, this is all great, Randy. Now what? Well, here's the now what. The now what is this? We must learn the rhythm of waiting. We must learn the healthy rhythm that the New Testament church learned. That in our chaos, when everything is turned upside down, what do? We come to Jesus. We wait on his presence. And then we respond to what he is doing in us. I want to encourage you. Go to our website. Pull up the sermon from Pentecost Sunday last year. It is the fourth sermon in the Book of Acts series. We're going to put a link to it in the comment section. I want to encourage you, go and listen to that message. We go into detail about the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. We go into detail about what it means to surrender ourselves to the Holy Spirit. Here's what I want you to take away from today. Starting over begins with seasons of refilling and retooling. Seasons of refueling and retooling. Let me pray for you right now. Father, I thank you. Just as Paul prayed for the church that we talked about earlier in Thessalonica, and he prayed that your Spirit, that you would cause them to be whole and healthy and refueled and retooled in their body, soul, and spirit. I pray for each person who's watching this today, on this day of Pentecost, may this be a day that the presence of the Holy Spirit manifest himself in the heart and life of every person watching this message. That Lord, by your Spirit, you would refuel and retool, that you would renew, that you would restore and empower every person listening to this message. Father, I pray, let your presence be known exactly where we are. And Jesus, just as you prayed for the disciples and just as you empowered them and sent them out for the purpose that you had called them to, Father, I pray for every person watching this message, no matter what they have faced so far, may this be a moment that they realize that as they lean into Jesus, Jesus is going to release the Holy Spirit into their life and restore and renew them, refresh them, so they can be empowered and retooled for what you've called them to do next. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week in the Lord as you do your daily 20 and are renewed and retooled for what God has called you to next.